Let's revisit a conversation I had with Greg Allman in 2015, shortly before he was inducted into the Georgia Music Hall of Fame. I began by asking him to talk about Macon's influence on his career. I wanted to talk to you about your newest album, Back to Macon, Georgia, which is being released at about the same time that you're going to be inducted into the Georgia Music Hall of Fame. And I wonder if you're at a period in your life when you're sort of looking back over your time in Macon and the beginnings of the Allman Brothers Band and tracing back to where your really distinctive style came from.
Well, as for Southern rock, all right, now this is an opinion. This is just the way I see it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The way I look at it, there were four kings of rock and roll, four architects of it. That would be Elvis, Aaron, Presley, Tupelo, Mississippi, Jerry Lee Lewis, Faraday, Louisiana, Little Richard Penniman, Macon, Georgia. And the other one is, I think he's a little above the Mason-Dixon, but it'd be a Chuck Berry, St. Louis, Missouri. Those four were the first that came out with real rock and roll. So, therefore, the rock and roll was born in the South. And saying Southern rock is just like saying rock. Rock is Southern. Me and my brother were raised, you know, career-wise, on rhythm and blues. I don't know how familiar you are with Daytona Beach, Florida, but
at the end
of Main Street, there's a big pier that goes out into the ocean. And there's a big, big house or a big, big establishment right about midway the pier. And that was a dance hall. They called it the Ocean Pier Casino. That right there is where me and my brother learned to play. And we got into a band that needed only one guitar player, so we would switch off every other night. Made $6 a night each. And it was a band called the House Rockers. That was the rhythm section, you know, drums and piano, guitar, bass. And then in front of that band was three black dudes singing. And that was the Untills. So it was the House Rockers and the Untills. Good night. Cost about $2 to get in. And one of these black singers was named Floyd Miles. A dear friend of mine, he was in my band until he got a little bit too old to travel, and go through all that. And he kind of took me under his wing because it started out I was a lead guitar player, and my brother was a rhythm guitar player and sang, and my brother was kind of a crooner. He came to me one day and he said, "Man, you need to learn to do something, or you're gonna have to hit the bricks." I said, "Wait a minute." And this was now after the Ocean Pier, and by now we had started our first band called the Allman Joy. So it was me either learn to play keyboards, but mainly learn to sing, or I'm out, right? So. I started singing, and I actually have tapes of about the third night, and they are atrocious.
Oh, man, I wish I could hear them.
Oh, no, nobody will ever hear these. No, I'm afraid to give them up because then they'll get all over the place, and I can't bear having to listen to that day to day.
So I understand you've said that you fell in love with the Hammond organ while listening to B.B. King play. And
well, he was the first concert I went to. It was actually a what they called a Black Review or a Soul Review. And that's where they have like one house band and then the different singers would go one at a time. Anyway, it was headed up by Jackie Wilson, and next on the bill was a man named Otis Redding. And the third bill was B.B. King. Now, he brought his own band. And in his band, he had this guy that had this black dude had this big red pompadour, man. It was about 6.5 inches high off his head. I mean, he must have had to work on that thing. And it was just flaming red. I guess he put peroxide on it and turned, you know, red. And he was sitting behind this piece of furniture. And, you know, I looked over at my brother and I said, "Man, what's the piece of furniture on stage?" He said, "No, I don't know, man. It's some kind of keyboard." And the tonal quality of it, I was just mesmerized.
It's on Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Today, we pay our respects to a giant of Georgia music. Greg Allman died over the weekend. He was a founding member of the Allman Brothers Band, and he and his bandmates lived for a time in a Macon home. It is now called the Big House Museum, and it's devoted to their music. Greg Potter is a trustee.
You know, I didn't know who the Allman Brothers were until Dwayne died, and everybody's walking around school, Dwayne died, and they go, "Who's Dwayne?" And within 2 weeks, I had all 3 8-tracks, and I was hooked. And so I've traveled all over the United States seeing the band and seeing Greg. And this band changed the whole generation. And so it's meant a lot to people and people from all over the world. I've had the ambassador to Mongolia come by here, you know, and it's just really amazing how many people this band has touched over all the years.
So let's return to my conversation from 2015 with Greg Allman. It was recorded shortly before his induction into the Georgia Music Hall of Fame, and he remembered jamming at the Big House.
We'd all go to the Big House, and all the ladies would prepare a big feast for us, and we all sit around and have what they call a guitar pull. So you take one guitar in a circle of dudes, and you say, "All right, who's got something new, you know?" And they'd pass the guitar around. Then some of the early ones, I said, "Well, I got this song called Melissa."
Would you tell us the story again? I love this story of how you came up with the name of the song. Because as I understand it, you wrote the whole thing and you didn't have the girl's name, right?
Right. She was somebody that I dreamed of and like the perfect woman that could be with me out on the road, you know, because, you know, you get lonesome out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, one-nighters, you go through that phase, but it's very short-lived when it comes to me going through it. I mean, you know, I just got to mean something, you know. Anyway, I had the whole song written back home, you'll always run to sweet Barbara, you know. sweet Christine, you know. I need 3 syllables. And so I just, you know, you work on it just so long and it gets redundant, you know, and the whole thing starts sounding like a bunch of noises. So this was back in 67. This is way before the Allman Brothers.
It's the first song you wrote, right?
Right. Well, I wrote and kept. I would write something like I'd stay up all night and slave over this tune. And I'd go and show it to my brother and say, "All right, man, we're going to get out of these damn clubs. Check this out. I've got it. We got it. We got it not." So I'd play him the song and he said, "Little bro, I don't really know how to break this to you in a nice way, but what you have here is a different set of lyrics to an album cut off the second Stones record." You know, I go, "Oh, no, no." And just subconsciously, you know, and this song was in my head, you know. And so he said, you need to get some new music for it, you know. And that was frustrating as hell. So Melissa was the first one that didn't go into the round file, the garbage. And I didn't even show it to anybody for about we didn't record it until after my brother passed away.
Oh, wow.
But it was like every time he'd have a few drinks, he'd say, Gregory, go get your guitar and play me that song about the girl, you know, the gypsy, and you know. So it was my turn to go to the store and get coffee and, you know, sugar and, you know, basic things we need. I go to the store, and this is like 3 a.m. after we get off work.
Wow.
It's all night, little groceries. And there was only one other person in there besides, well, two, counting the cashier. And there was this Spanish lady, and she had this little toddler with her, which is strange that time in the morning.
Yeah.
And this little girl, that was about that age that they realize they have legs and they can run. And she was just running up and down the aisles, you know. And so the Spanish lady called out to her. She says, oh, Melissa, come back. Don't go too far, Melissa. I went back home, and I was going to be sweet Melissa. Ah, that's it. I wanted to go kiss the lady, but I thought she'd probably call the law. So that was it. You know, I had the name.
I got to ask you, I mean, first of all, I had assumed you were already in the Georgia Music Hall of Fame, but finally...
I am with the brothers.
Right. But I mean, on your own right, I mean, as a songwriter, for certainly, I wonder what that means to be added on in your own right, separate of the band.
That means a great deal. That centers in right on you. And it's a big crystal sitting on a big piece of marble. And, you know, it's beautiful and all that, but it represents a lot of hard work. Well, you know, a labor of love, a real passion, but it means being focused. It means knowing when to start, when to stop. I thank God for the longevity of my career.
Singer and songwriter Greg Allman in an interview from 2015. He died over the weekend at his home in Savannah.